Welcome to North Valley's devotional podcast for March 5th, 2021. Today we'll be reading from Genesis 27, verses 1 through 10. After Isaac had become old and almost blind, he called in his firstborn son Esau, who asked him, "Father, what can I do for you?" Isaac replied, "I am old and might die at any time. So take your bow and arrows, then go out in the fields and kill a wild animal. Cook some of that tasty food that I love so much and bring it to me. I want to eat it once more and give you my blessing before I die." Rebekah had been listening, and as soon as Esau left to go hunting, she said to Jacob, "I heard your father tell Esau to kill a wild animal and cook some tasty food for your father before he dies. Your father said this because he wants to bless your brother with the Lord as his witness. Now, my son, listen carefully to what I want you to do. Go and kill two of your best young goats and bring them to me. I'll cook the tasty food that your father loves so much. Then you can take it to him so he can eat it and give you his blessing before he dies." Genesis 27 is the culmination of all the mess that Isaac and Rebekah's family had become. Isaac is aware that he's close to dying, and apparently Rebekah and the kids were too, because this doesn't come as a surprise to any of them. Rebekah has been eavesdropping and is ready to undermine Isaac's plan to bless Esau. Esau is ready to do what Isaac asks, and Jacob is ready to fall in with Rebekah's scheme as soon as she suggests it. Getting to this place, a place of deception and division within a family, didn't happen overnight. We know from the last chapter that Esau and Jacob are in their 40s, and Esau has married women who his parents don't approve of. Jacob has tricked Esau out of his inheritance. The text notes that Esau hated Jacob for doing that, and now Jacob and Rebekah are determined to not let Isaac's final blessing undo the promise of the inheritance. There are big clues in this story from the beginning. Jacob and Esau fight each other in the womb, foreshadowing of what's to come. Even Jacob's name is a clue. It can mean to follow, but it can also mean to supplant. For the original audience, Jacob's name is a hint of how things will work out. Jacob, the supplanter, will take Esau's place, as indeed Rebekah's word from God states. But even this raises questions. Scripture doesn't tell us that Rebekah shared her answer to prayer with Isaac. Jacob's name having dual meaning might not have been clear to Isaac. He may have only been understanding it in the sense that Jacob was the second born. Clearly, the favoritism that Isaac and Rebekah respectively show Esau and Jacob plays a part in fueling this division. But is Rebekah's understanding of God's answer to her licensed to make it come to be? Does her understanding that Jacob should be the supplanter of Esau give her freedom or even obligation to deceive her husband at her other son's expense? This is a story we'd prefer to be different. In our modern understanding, we'd hope that Isaac and Rebekah could have had a collaborative agreement to nurture their kids to their potential and notice that Jacob was the more level-headed and better equipped for leadership of the two. They could have freed Esau to be good at what he was good at, hunting and being manly and hairy, and he could have provided for the family and been dumb and happy. Jacob could have been encouraged to use his cleverness and insight for better leadership skill, and everybody could have been loving and happy. But that's not how this went down. Instead, it's all intrigue and conflict and lies. So we're left to wrestle with this story. The storytellers aren't pulling any punches. Again, there's no direct commentary on the morality of these actions, only the pain and brokenness of natural consequences. We have to sit in the uncomfortable reality of this story and perhaps recognize that both our own spiritual formation as well as the history of spiritual formation of our faith is messy and full of questions. Some questions for today. How do we know what God's intention is? And does living into our understanding of that intention through any means make it justifiable? How do we know what God intends or how to interpret God's answer to our prayer? How do we share that with other people, even if it calls us to break with societal norms? What patterns of relationship lead to brokenness, and how do we make choices to not perpetuate them?